Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
A reset of the prophetic movement is upon us. The second wave of prophets is rising in this hour. We stand at the edge of a new era in the prophetic. We're gathering the international prophetic community at the Global Prophetic Center, a hub for prophetic training, prophetic labs, summits, networks, and lighthouses. It's time for prophets to go deeper. It's time for seers to soar. It's time for prophetic voices to rise up and decree what says the Spirit of God with accuracy that causes the world to pay attention. The Global Prophetic Center offers proven prophetic systems and structures to equip you to walk worthy of your calling and to prophesy with precision, boldness, diplomacy, and wisdom. Get hands-on training and mentoring in a safe environment that breeds true prophetic community and learning. Receive impartation and activation. Sharpen your gift and avoid prophetic pitfalls. Get commissioned. Get networked. Get sent out with the word of the Lord in your mouth and the confidence to release it. Begin your journey today by applying at globalpropheticcenter.com. Jennifer LeClaire here. You can see in the spirit. I want to invite you to take the Seer Activation Challenge, 30 days to clearer spiritual sight. I'm going to be on board doing Seer Activations with you, guiding you through biblical entryways and much, much more. You can opt to take the Seer Activation Challenge at tinyurl.com/seeractivation. tinyurl.com/seeractivation. You can also opt to get these three books, Seer Dimensions. You can get Power Seers. This just came out. Keys to Upgrading Your Prophetic Vision. And you can get Seer Activations with 101 Seer Activations and a whole lot more teaching. I want to challenge you to see what you've never seen before. God wants you to be able to see in the Spirit. Open your eyes to the Seer Dimensions in Jesus' name.
The word apostolic has been kind of a buzzword in the body of Christ over the last decade or two. And it's coming to a peak right now where God is actually really calling all of his people to be apostolic. And that's one of the roles of the apostle, is to release that apostolic anointing. Well, with me today, I have a guest, Mark Tubbs, who you've been working in apostolic networking and apostolic training for a number of years now and with a large global network. And it's awesome to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you have authored a new book called Relational Transformation. And we just want to encourage our viewers to get a hold of this book, because it'll talk a lot about the transformation season that we're in the body of Christ to becoming apostolic, and how God's raising up fathers and mothers and mentoring and everything to help people grow in the apostolic. But tell me, Mark, about your heart to see especially pastors make transition in this hour.
Well, I did that myself. I was a traditional Baptist pastor, and we came into the river and the renewal, and I heard Peter Wagner talking about the fivefold and about apostles and prophets. And I actually really struggled with it because, you know, we hadn't learned that in seminary and
sure,
no one talked about it. But he just presented such a biblical sound approach. And so I began to just ask the Lord about it. And he told me that I was called to be an apostle.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, Lord, I don't know about that. And, you know, like, I don't even know if I believe in apostles. But then he said, seek the function and never give yourself the title.
Right.
And so that's where I'd like to start to answer your question. Is that?
And I think that's such an issue today, too, is that there's so much entitlement even.
Yes.
You know, where titles become really, really important to people, but it's the function.
Yes. So it was coupled with the prophetic, and it was very interesting. I teach on the fivefold a lot, my first book, mm-hmm. Five Fingers of God. And so the Lord said, use the prophetic anointing to actually open the door to apostolic influence. So that's what I started doing in Kenya.
Wow.
And started going there in 1998. And it's a long story. We planted a network. And so I started to teach a lot on the apostolic. And over the time, I found that people respond so strangely to this word, like you said in the introduction. And so I wanted to capture in this book and during the past years, like, apostolic is like the most wonderful word.
Yeah, no kidding. In fact, I know that even a lot of our viewers might wonder, just a minute, what is the apostolic? What is it? Because when you're going in a stream that is moving apostolically, you just kind of assume everybody knows. But can you simplify for our viewers, what is apostolic and why has God got so much emphasis on it right now?
I can. If you start in Luke 6, for example, when Jesus has followers and he goes mm-hmm. to the mountain, fully God but fully man, so he's relying on the Father, and he gets this revelation that he's to call 12 and he's to designate them apostles. And we've heard others teach on it, so I don't need to go, but this word is a political government word. When the Roman Empire was growing, they'd take over a territory, and they would bring these ambassadors, and they would bring Roman culture to that, to overtake mm-hmm. and infused into the culture that they took. Mm-hmm. For example, when I go to Kenya, you can have a British breakfast anywhere if you're even in the bush.
Right.
But we bring the kingdom of heaven into right. wherever we go.
Right.
So what Jesus was saying, in other words, I'm calling you 12 transformers.
Yeah, come on.
So when he says, go make disciples of nations, he doesn't stop mm-hmm. there. And so that's in apostolic in a sense. And the reason everyone is apostolic is that we're all sent into the world,
right.
empowered by the Holy Spirit, to transform
Amen.
Culture, to bring the kingdom of heaven, like we pray, on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
That's apostolic.
Yeah, exactly. Because it actually means sent one.
Yes.
And so we're being sent by the Lord. In fact, we had Dr. Brian Simmons on a program recently, and he was saying, like, Mary, at the, you know, like when she met with Jesus, Jesus said, now go and tell the disciples, right? So she was actually the first apostolic one that Jesus sent
Amen.
After his
That's
resurrection,
powerful.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes you don't, I mean, I've never thought of Mary as being an apostle, but it was actually an apostolic assignment she was given. And so you might be, you know, in the marketplace, you might be a business person, you might be in government, education system, but you could be sent by God on assignment to bring transformation and to bring the kingdom into that area. And I think that's why the whole body needs to become apostolic. We need to be sent once in whatever influence God is sending us into.
Exactly. You know, when I was a local church pastor, I was happy if I had people to work in the nursery,
right?
Or to run a Bible study or home group. But in the understanding I've come in, I never really expected someone to change the region.
Right.
Or to disciple a region.
Right.
I have, for example, now I have, he's just becoming chief deputy in Multnomah County in Portland. And he was one of the original ones, like 15 years ago. I said, you're called to pastor the entire sheriff's department. You're
wow.
called to transform it. And he has been.
That is so awesome.
So it's that message, yes.
Now, when you were sent into Kenya, you were being a sent one. God sent
yes.
you to Kenya. And little did you know that he was going to use you in the capacity that he did. Because, I mean, the gospel just spread there. You raised up sons and daughters in the Lord who are taking things further. So that's definitely apostolic assignment. So share with us some of the transformation that you've seen take place because of your time in Kenya.
Well, first thing is, it was a very strong religious spirit. I mean, where I went, people, literally, the women had to wear bonnets to be saved. They had to be baptized 3 times to be saved. And so that was the first thing when I got to see a glimpse, when the Lord gave me a message called this, that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life.
Wow.
And I literally had, in that particular day, the bishop who'd started the denomination get up and repent and renounce all the
wow.
rules that day to go in the spirit.
And so you had to tear down the lies so that you could build
yeah.
and plant the
yeah.
the truth.
And so the Lord was showing me, this is what it looks like.
Wow.
But you know what? I did that for about 14 years, and I poured in. We brought prophetic culture too, because witchcraft and the prophetic got intertwined in Kenya.
Sure.
And so we saw growth. We came up to about 1,000 churches, actually, after that time. But then one day, the Lord called me to go to a city called Matwapa. It's on the coastal region north of Mombasa. And I wasn't sure why he called me to go there, but when I got there, I knew right away. Mm-hmm. There were hundreds of women on the street, prostitutes, in open, in the bars, mm-hmm. in the hotels, and in fact, thousands, really. Mm-hmm. And I went to the church. I had four churches in that city, but I went to the Ministers Association, and they told me, we don't want anything to do with them. If they come into our churches, they'll pollute it.
They didn't know that light invades the darkness, right?
Yeah. But I realized that this was part of my transformation, is that I think up to that time, I kind of was living out God, for God so loved the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the church. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the bride.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in 2014. I actually prayed, and I went down to the beach, and I had an encounter with a woman who came to me, asked me to be her companion for the night. She was a street, you know, a beach prostitute. And it turned into a woman at the well encounter.
Wow.
And the Lord showed me things about her life. How it started is she asked me if she wanted a companion for the night, if I wanted a companion. And I said, I can't. I see you as a daughter. And I actually had the face of my natural daughter superimposed on her face. Mm. And at that moment, there was an impartation. Just before I even began to say anything else, she began to weep. The Lord showed me she had an 18-year-old brother that she loved dearly. Anyways, it's a long story, but what happened from that was on our next trip, we baptized 125 women right off the street.
Wow.
And it was tremendous transformation. But then, when we're walking away from the baptismal waters, they said, what do we do now? So we've started business centers. I could go on and on about what's happened in Kenya. It's
awesome.
Been amazing.
So then did those women get put in the church? Because you said earlier that
yes,
the churches have a mindset for
we
that.
We had some churches. It was actually government leaders I started to work with because I wanted to know how to do the funding. Like, you know, if you just are pouring money and it's just the old wineskin.
Sure.
You know, I believe in giving money.
Sure.
But it's really for indigenous leaders. This is relational transformation. Mm-hmm. You're not there all the time.
Right.
You have to build up and train those that are there. And the people that I found more open to pastoring and really most effective were some of the government leaders.
Oh, wow.
That
wonderful.
Had churches. Because in Kenya, a lot of them are bivocational.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some really follow-up with that. They'd put like 30 women in a group, and then they would do accountability and help them plan. I have a spiritual son. His name is Simon. He was a science teacher. And for 10 years, we didn't give him enough to leave that. We felt like it was important for him. But now he's full-time. And he's doing a lot of follow-up with the things that we started. So it's followed through.
And so because you built relationship with those people and put people in place where they could relationally pour into their lives, you're seeing transformation in that region.
Tremendous, yeah.
What are some of the changes that you see?
I think that the first, like what I'm talking here, is that churches are opening up to the women. And the biggest change right now, the cutting edge one is that there's a group of around 1,000 to 1,200 young men or boys on the street. And they're untouchables, they're virtually, because it's against the law to be a prostitute, of course. But it's also against the law to be a homosexual. Mm-hmm. So it's a double whammy, so to speak, and they're very unreachable. So the latest strategy we've got is to not work through the church. We're working through the HIV centers.
Wow, beautiful.
And we go into the HIV centers. We pray with people, and they're coming to Christ. And so we're trying right now to see how to sustain it. And so the key has been finding the pastoral leaders within the HIV centers and gathering them in their homes. And we're doing that. We've been leading them to Christ, giving Bibles, transitioning them.
Beautiful. Now, I'm just sensing in my spirit that there's a number of you that are watching, actually, where you have felt stirred to bring light into the darkness. And you think, well, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I'm a sent one. I feel like God wants to send me into these places. But I wouldn't know where to start. And usually you just start with your yes. you know, and once you give God your yes, he can work out all the details. He can work out all the things that go together with that. And if you have a heart for him and a heart for people, you can be a transformational apostolic son or daughter of God. Amen. And help others come into the fullness of the kingdom. I'm particularly getting a word of knowledge right now for someone that you actually are feeling the call into Africa. And God's going to open up those doors and get you properly aligned with the right people. In fact, you might want to even contact Mark Tubbs at his website, because he might be able to help you. And his website is on the screen right now. And you also might want to get this book, Relational Transformation, because it could really help give you some keys in how to move forward. But I just feel like this strong call is on you, and the oil of God is poured out upon you. You just have a few missing pieces to come together in order for that thrust to take place. Have you ever felt that, wow, I have a call inside of me? I know what it is even, or I have a glimpse of what it is, but it's never been unlocked. It's like just kind of trapped on the inside. And you wonder, when is this call going to be realized? When am I going to be able to step into that call? Well, part of Mark Tubbs' book, Relational Transformation, talks about the unlocking of that call and the things that will help get it unlocked, the things that will support that call into movement. So, So Mark, you have a real passion to see people move into what they were destined to live in, and their service to the Lord and their service to mankind. And so you've worked with a lot of leaders, a lot of individuals to help get that call unlocked. So what are some of the things that you've learned about unlocking people's call?
Well, I think that I just want to start with just where we left off, because when we'd go to Kenya, they'd ask us, well, you know, how many churches could you do today? And I'd say, well, I don't know. And they say, how many do you have? And this is as many as you could do. So it was really became Luke 9 and Luke 10 and sending people out in pairs all over the region. And they'd come back seeing glimpses of who they were.
Wow.
And really, like, you know, like one man told me, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just there to support my wife. And then he'd run to the van. I had a word of knowledge. I saw healings and all these things. But when I got home, I saw that the church kind of had this vortex, I call it. It sucked them right back into normal life, and they weren't serving.
Right.
And I literally got up in front of the church and I repented. I took responsibility. I said, I was trained to tell you, come into my vision and support it. And I want to shift it where our church is about you coming into your destiny.
Beautiful.
Which is the five, which really to me, I call the fivefold, which is found in Ephesians 4:11. I really believe that it's about a blueprint. I think that everybody has a blueprint that God spoke, just like he spoke into Jeremiah when he told him that before I formed you, I knew you. So to unlock their call, we need to bring people to that place. What did God put into people?
Right.
Okay. So the first thing is, I've got a book and an assessment tool so that I can give you, and we can give you through the Holy Spirit, very clear definition of who you are between understanding your fivefold call.
Wow.
Okay, so once we start to unlock that, then we start to translate, what does it mean? How do you function in your anointing?
How can you express it?
How do you express it? And so what I tried to do in the first book, Five Fingers of God, was just really explain how to go through, and I had five different levels of every anointing. Because not everybody's called, and this is really important for the listeners, we're not all called to have a title. But all of us have a function.
Right.
And the different measure is the goal isn't to be everyone have this high position. We're not looking to give people titles. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ephesians 4:12 is about equipping the saints. The whole
point of ministry.
So verse 11 is not even about those with titles. Their role is to equip people. Mm-hmm. To believe in them. We were in Israel, and there was a woman there, and I was listening to her around the tables, and I said, did you know that you're prophetic pastoral? She goes, no one's ever told me I'm prophetic. We don't even have a church that even teaches in prophecy. I said, everyone you talk to at the table, you're comforting them through thoughts that you have in your meditation with the Lord. I said, why don't you go with me to India? And she goes, okay. So she went on the trip, and I trained her. Every morning we did this training and equipping. And at the end of the trip, I said, you know, how many people do you think you prophesied over? And she goes, oh, probably 1,000.
Wow.
And she said, I will do this the rest of my life.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you just need an opportunity. And that's why Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, stay ye in all the church. He said, go. Because as you go, there's a blessing in the going. I remember years ago when we were down in Mexico, we were leading an outreach center down in Mexico. And we had all these different areas that people could sign up to go on outreaches each day. And on this one particular day, the only area that needed people still was in the prison. And so this gal says, I'm not into prison ministry. I've never been into prison ministry. I don't want to go into the prison. Can't I change with someone else? I said, sure, you know, if someone wants to change with you, but nobody did. So she got stuck going into the prison, and she didn't even feel like she wanted to, but she went because it was the only place left. When she came out of there, she had a life transformational experience.
Amen.
The experience revealed her call.
Yes.
And so she, like the next day, signed up for the prison ministry. The day after, she signed up for the prison ministry. When she got home, I got this beautiful email back. She said, I just cannot believe this, but I'm actually leading a prison ministry out of my church now. We're going into the local prisons here. And she said, I had no idea that I was called for, but what unlocked it was simply being in an environment where it could surface. And I think that, you know, just like the story that you're saying about that woman, is that she goes to India and it's unlocked. I mean, 1,000 people prophesied over.
Yeah.
And she said, this is what I'll be doing for the rest of my life because of the opportunity. And I just want to encourage many of you, if you have opportunity to go on an outreach or to go to another nation, and I mean, if you need one, you can go to Cambodia, just go on my website and sign up.
Absolutely.
But just anywhere, actually, because Jesus doesn't even qualify. He says, go into all the world. So it could be anywhere. You don't need 3 dreams and a vision to confirm it. You're already commanded by the Lord to do it. But I think as you go, you could discover what your passion is, and it could be unlocked right on the field.
Well, we do these, we call them transformation trips, and they're transforming for the ones that go and also with the ones you serve. I think it's really important to say it's like environment. It's the it's really an apostolic culture where everyone's being activated, and the goal isn't to be on a trip for 1 week or 2 weeks. It's to be changed, life changed, unlocked when you come home. So our trips, we intentionally interview every person on the trip, try to find out who they are. We prophesy over each one. We give them direction so that they'll be translating this into how they'll look different when they go home. I think one of the greatest keys of and how it comes with the apostolic too is I really believe that if we knew what to do, we'd already be doing it.
Yeah.
So one of the things the Lord told me is, look, you've been doing Kenya for all this time. When you're going to enter into this real stage of transformation, I want you to see through the eyes of everyone you bring. And talking about unlocking your call, a lot of times leaders can't even be so focused on what they're doing.
On the assignment.
But God brings these team members who see things. Like a perfect example, you mentioned a prison. We passed by this one prison probably 200 times over the 10 years. And once one guy goes to me, he goes, Mark, have you ever been on that prison? And I hadn't even barely noticed it.
Wow.
So I said, well, why don't you take a team tomorrow? Go knock on the door, see if they'll even let you in. And then he comes back the next day and he says, yep, there's 2,000 people in there, and they let us prophesy as many as we could, you know, and they ministered all day. Think. So unlocking your call to the listeners, there's things that are in you already. There are things you see, and sometimes we're waiting for someone else. But if you're in the right culture and the environment, then say, hey, this is on my heart. And you might be in a circle of people and go, that's on my heart too. And that's one way you unlock your call. God has written passions, dreams on your heart. And some for some people, they've been there 10, 15, 20 years, never seen anything come to fruition.
And I love what you mentioned about how, you know, it's like what you learn from others. Like sometimes you can sit around in a group, even around a coffee table or something, and start talking the things of God. And before you know it, out of relationship, you are getting transformed and you know, you're getting stirred and you're getting ideas for things and the Spirit's breathing on it. And it's just all out of relationship. It's beautiful. Yeah. And in your book, you touch on mentors, like the fathers and mothers being raised up, and to have people in your life that can help you go to places where they've already been, sort of thing, in the Spirit, and help watch over that process.
Yeah, I really believe that first is alignment. In Ephesians 4:12, the word to equip the saints, there is a medical term.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, when a bone is broken, it has to be aligned then and put in a cast.
Right.
And it's properly healed. So people that are moving individually and don't have good relationships, by the way, this can include leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They're autonomous. They think they're, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're
the
end game, so to speak. So there's an alignment that comes. And the mentoring, there's different words we're using right now, spiritual fathering and mothering. I think it's important, but I don't think everyone feels led to use that
mm-hmm.
word because, you know, they have, you know, different things.
Yeah.
So in this book, I go through all the dynamics of
beautiful.
Of that, some of the pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is what you're saying about mentoring is that to be unlocked, there is an apostolic culture and community, and there are leaders who are able to help you identify and then express mm-hmm. what God has given to you.
They've already been there and seasoned in a particular area, so they can help you get started where they have arrived, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that helps growth. You know, I mean, you can have exponential growth if someone's already been there and can show you the way. Thank you so much, Mark Tubbs, for being with us today. And I just want to share for a moment, and definitely want to encourage you to get this book, Relational Transformation. You'll really enjoy it. You'll see Mark Tubbs' website on the screen. You can contact him directly and get this off of his site. I believe that it'll be a valuable book for you to give you understanding on the apostolic and on the way that you can be transformed in this season where God has this huge apostolic thrust in the earth. He wants your calling unlocked, and this book will have keys to help that. And just as we're finishing up here today, I would like to share with you about a mentoring program that we have designed just for you called the A-Team Mentorship. And, you know, it's about accessing and activating and accelerating your full potential. And that's my heart for you, is to see you built up with a strong core, a strong identity, strong vision of your abilities in the Lord, and giving you tools so that you can succeed and be fruitful and to be multiplying. So this is an online mentorship. You can do it anywhere in the world at any time. We have all the tools. We have video teaching, audio teaching, all the worksheets, the manuals, and plus a closed Facebook group where you can have interaction with me daily, regular Facebook interaction, where we give nuggets and all kinds of mentoring tools. And it's relational. It's built on social media, which is a relational network. So we have interaction back and forth. So I would love to mentor you. Go to patriciakingmentor.com for more information on how to become part of my A-Team mentorship program. I'd love to be able to help you with that. I'm just going to pray right now for apostolic anointing and blessing to unlock your call that will come upon you. And so, Father, I just pray, Father, for your apostolic daddy heart to just fill your people and to empower them to go to places in you where they've never gone before. Lord, that they will have their destinies unlocked, their calling unlocked. I pray, Lord God, that they would be empowered, encouraged, and celebrated in these coming days in Jesus' name. Now, we'll see you again next time, but remember this, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Now, I'm going to give you an apostolic assignment. I'm going to send you out to go and share with the world around you that very message. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
You have gifts. God expects you to use them. If you need training to school your gift, log on to schoolofthespirit.tv. You'll find training in spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, prayer, seer's ministry, writing, and so much more. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv today. You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClair is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.